On this episode of Still Learning, a Harvest Moon clone you'll want to play. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. As usual, I'm your host, Josh Koval, and this week on the podcast, I am very happy to have my wife with me. Courtney, how are you?
Good. That's me. I'm the wife. I'm Courtney.
So you were on this podcast once before.
Yeah, and a long time ago.
When I was doing the 40 for 40 series. Mm-hmm. And I set you up in a pretty bad way because I gave you a game that you've never played before.
Yeah, Josh. It's Dunk on Ice.
It was real bad. And I remember it was hard for you to kind of comment on it because you don't really play games all that often. So there wasn't much for you to talk about with it. So the reason I'm having you on this episode, though, is to kind of rectify that. And you've been talking a while now asking me, I would like to come on your show. I just don't know what to do. And I thought this would be a perfect topic.
Well, I knew what I would want to do, but none of them really pertain to your subject matter or your audience.
What would you have wanted to do?
Well, I wanted to come and be like comedic relief.
Just make fun of me while I'm recording?
No, I want to tell really bad like video game puns and jokes.
Do you have one?
No, I have none because I don't play them. I don't know any of the jargon or the cool slang you kids are using these days on the net. So I'm kind of not really relevant.
No, you're relevant because you're my wife and my life. was a slip, but when it worked out.
Cheesy.
I know.
It's cute because you're cute and I like the cheese.
All right. So I'm having you on to talk Stardew Valley.
Yes.
And Stardew Valley is really important to me, and I think it's pretty important to you. Mm-hmm. I would like to think so. So Stardew Valley, for those who have never played it, it is a farming simulator. It's kind of like a slow life simulator. You basically inherit your grandfather's farm, and you are charged with cultivating it and bringing it up to what he considers decent standards. And at the end of, 3 years or 4 years? 2 years, sorry, 2 years, he will judge you and determine how well you did. It doesn't really do much more than that because you can always basically reapply for the judgment and get different rewards from it, but that's pretty much the game. You're supposed to, you know, expand your farm, grow crops, get animals, interact with the villagers of the town, and so on and so forth. So that, in a nutshell, that's what the game is, just for those who have never played it. But I guess to start this off, what I wanted to ask you first is, since you're not into games all that often, or not often, all that much, what drew you to want to play this game?
Here comes the tea.
Okay. Spilling tea with Courtney.
So, Josh plays a lot of video games, and sometimes he'll play them downstairs in our living room with our large TV, and one of his many consoles, and he'll play it, and I like to spectate most times. I like watching long stories of the video games and kind of keeping up with the storyline. But give me a remote. I think what do I play on? A PlayStation
4? You're playing on the PlayStation 4, yeah.
A PlayStation 4 remote control is just beyond my comprehension. I played... The only video games I played is kind of my first introduction to video games. And in 1999, I was given a Game Boy Advance. And that is, no, just a Game Boy Color. I got the Game Boy Advance later. But like, that is the extent of my video gameage. So being handed any remote and trying to play through it myself is daunting. So I watched Josh play Stardew Valley. And it was mundane and basic and a little elementary, but it was really my speed when it comes to video games.
Because it's not in your face. It's
right.
Very,
I can't stand these video games that he plays with the really intense music and the the scenery is like creepy and scary, and you know people are coming to shoot you, and you have to shoot them back. You have to hide, and you have to do this puzzle really quick, and it's just really overwhelming for me to watch. So I don't even bother playing it. But this one was right up my alley. Mm-hmm. It was very much my speed. And I had times when I was watching Josh where I thought, I could totally do this better than him. So
fair enough.
That's
okay.
The tea. I tried it. And of course, I was terrible at it in the beginning because I literally have the dexterity of a 5-year-old when it comes to, well, maybe 3-year-old because 5-year-olds are playing these video games now. But the dexterity of a 3-year-old playing this really basic farming simulator game and just kind of pushing myself because I knew I could be better at it than Josh.
And sometimes you are.
I have my theories, my ways, my conspiracies. So.
Conspiracies. I got into it because of, actually, shout out to Two Guys in a Game. The podcast, unfortunately, is no longer up and running, but TJ, owner of the Podbeard Network I'm a part of, him and his friend Kaz had a podcast called Two Guys in a Game. And on one episode, Kaz went in, like, just went off about this game, just talking about it and just going into detail. And what captured my imagination was his interaction with the villagers, because it's not lifelike, but it's more lifelike than you're expecting it to be. There's so many moments where you're talking to a villager and they just say something so pointedly, like, directed at you, and it's creepy as hell. Like, one of the things you can do in this game is you can give gifts to different villagers, and if you choose to get married to one of them, if you give a gift to another villager, they freak out at you. They yell at you.
I don't think I've gotten to that point yet.
You haven't done that?
Story development.
So that I fell in love with the game because I wanted to see what this whole village town thing was like, because I was always attracted to it from the graphics. I would see screenshots of it online. I always thought the graphics looked interesting, but I never played a farming sim type of thing. I never played Harvest Moon, which this game was kind of to throw back to the intro of the podcast. The reason I mentioned Harvest Moon is because the creator of this, I'm blanking on his name. I'm going to have to look it up.
Is it the Concerned Apes guy?
Yeah, Concerned Ape is his Twitter handle. Eric Barone, that's his name.
He helped.
Thank you. You got my back.
You're welcome.
So he created the game because he wasn't seeing anything like Harvest Moon that he grew up playing, and he wanted to make another Harvest Moon game.
Old game.
It's similar to an old game. Like, this is a spiritual, what they call spiritual successor. Do you know what I mean by that?
No.
So it's a game that's very similar to some other game, but they're not part of the same series. So, like, Harvest Moon, if you ever try Harvest Moon, you'd probably like it because it's very similar to Stardew.
Do you play it on the same console?
It's older, but you could...
But that means less buttons?
Possibly, actually.
Yeah, I'm in.
But Stardew Valley makes a lot of upgrades to what the games used to be. Like, they add a lot more to it. So
even before the updates?
So, like, for example, in Harvest Moon, there's no mine for you to go explore and kill monsters. It's just the farming, and there's other stuff.
You know, that probably would have been a good one to start me on, because unlike you, I was not drawn toward the socializing part of the game or the mining / adventuring part of the game. I just liked the farming aspect of it because it was basic. It was one concept for me to grasp and not all these overlapping worries and theories and ideas that I have to keep up on while playing the game. It's a lot to think about, and I needed to start really slow.
But that's what I think you liked about it, because you could start at your own pace. You didn't have to go to the mines. You didn't have to interact with all the villagers. You didn't have to go fishing. You couldn't even have to do any of that.
And I think that's why I started a new storyline, with a new farm, because I kind of got it down, the basics down, and I kind of wanted to play the game like you were playing it, because I remember the other year when you were playing your one story, you got everything done so quickly And my first year of the story, I basically just got farming down. That's all I did. And now I can go back and play it again. And I am maximizing the game and playing it like you did.
I mean, that's the thing though. Like the first time I played it though, I had a similar experience to you where I didn't do much in my first year
at all. But you still did a lot more than I was doing in my first year. So that's why I'm playing it again, because I know I can do it better than you.
Oh, okay. Well, you also were learning the controls for the first time because you had.
Yeah, that's so hard. Do you know I even turned off the one control stick?
Oh, really? I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. I asked you to do it for this new game, too.
Did I?
I don't use the, what do you call it, a joystick?
Yeah.
I don't use the joystick. I use the buttons to get around.
You're using the, it's called the D-pad. Yeah.
Yeah. The buttons.
Sure, we'll go with that. It's a little less perverted sounded anyway. The D-pad?
Well, Joshua. All right. Next topic.
Anyway, so the game starts off with you coming to Stardew Valley, and you come to this place called Pelican Town. That's the name of the town you live in.
Correct.
And you, the first person you see is the mayor. I believe it's the mayor.
Sure.
And he basically tells you, oh, he shows you where your farm is at. He also gives you 30 parsnip seeds, and you're off to the races. That's all you're given to start off. And you are given all your tools,
set of tools.
So you have a pickaxe, you have a shovel, you have...
Watering can.
You have a hoe.
You got a hoe.
You named your first character Sally Ho.
Sally, I named
at Little Ho Farms.
Sally... And I named her farm Little Ho. So she was Farmer Sally from Little Ho Farms because of the modern day. No, the Modern Family reference.
Is that a modern? It's a Modern Family reference?
Yeah.
I didn't get it. What's in Modern Family?
I have no idea. I just recall one scene where... I guess the mom, because I don't watch it very often,
mm-hmm.
But it's hilarious. The mom turns to the son and says, quick, grab that little hoe. Make it look like you're doing something. And instead of like the gardening tool, he turns and grabs his sister. So I needed to maximize.
No, I get what you're saying.
I needed to utilize the reference.
There you go.
Appropriately.
Okay. So mine. What did I name my? I named it Derp Farm or whatever. No. What did I name my first farm? Do you remember? It was something stupid.
Jim Bob your new one?
Jim Bob is my new one. The first one, it was just, I forget what it was. It was stupid. Anyway.
So, I think it was fun though. It was a good one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but thank you.
You're welcome.
So you are given the parsnip seeds, and you're given all the different tools that you need to in order to farm, and you're off to the races from that point. So from there, it's kind of fun because then you can pick and choose how, like, where you want to plant things. You also have to be careful with how much money you're spending, because you do have to buy more seeds. So,
and spending your energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing too. I can't tell you how many times I've died in the beginning parts of the adventure because I've died off because I used all my energy. I was too exhausted.
That is another mechanic that I forgot about. You only have a certain amount of energy you can expel per day. You can eat to get that energy back, but they don't give you any food in the early parts of the game.
You have to forage or eat your own crop.
You forage a lot. I would consider you an expert forager.
I do. I expert foraging.
I expert foraging.
I English good. Lee.
Since you fainted, you probably would have met one of your first villagers besides the mayor. You met Harvey, the doctor.
Dr. Harvey, reporting for duty.
Which is funny because that's also our puppy's name.
It's our little boy. His name is Harvey.
So one of the most fun aspects for me is interacting with all the villagers of the town, because they all are pretty interesting. Who's one of your personal favorite villagers? Now that you've, you know, played it for a while, I mean, it's funny. We say that you don't play games a lot, and that's true, but you've logged over 100 hours into this game. Like, you've logged a lot of time into it.
I have. It's embarrassing.
It's
but
not embarrassing. It's awesome.
Okay, I'm owning it. I love the Stardew Valley. I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite character because I'm not as invested as you. I do find, I don't know.
I like Linus a lot, homeless guy that lives outside the town, only because he's just so nice. He's so
sweet. He is nice. He's very humble and
like
alone.
He makes you feel so bad for him so early on. One of the first conversations I had with him, the first thing he said was like, "Are you here to throw stuff at me?"
Oh, like, Linus!
Linus, no!
No!
This poor guy.
Poor Linus.
That's the first thing he said to me. I'm like, well, this... What's this town doing to this man?
Or the stuff he says at those gatherings. I'm just going to stay over here out of everybody's way.
He just wants
wants me here anyways.
He's so sad. And then he becomes...
He is a sad character.
He's so sweet that once you befriend him and he realizes that you're only there to be friends with him, he gives you stuff a lot, too. He actually
teaches you
how to make the best type of bait for fishing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I need to pursue
more of a relationship with Linus and his loincloth.
You can't marry Linus, unfortunately.
No, that is very unfortunate.
Him and his loincloth.
Oh, I have decided who my favorite character is.
Oh, who is it?
A little controversial, I know, in your eyes, but I think I like Haley.
Because Haley?
I think she is like Regina George. She is Mean Girls.
100%.
I am Katie. I want to be her friend and be plastic just like her. And she is such a ditz, and she is such a drama queen, and talks down to me all the time, even though I am full hearts of friendship with her.
She still
in
talks
my
down to
second
you.
Year, she goes, "Oh, who are you again?" Or, "Oh, it's you, right?" I'm like, "Yes, it's me. We have full hearts."
I didn't know that she would still speak like that.
Yeah, just her casual things, because I guess these are like she uses a set amount. Or a set.
Yeah, they have a set number of dialogue options for her.
So I guess they didn't expect her to be friendly with anybody, but I'm friendly with her, even though, like, I guess I'm the Gretchen Wieners to her Regina George.
It's funny because the first I think that's a weird thing that you and I both kind of did, because the first person I became friends with was Shane, who's a dick.
Oh, but he's so easy. You buy him a beer.
Or you buy him, you get him hot peppers. He loves hot peppers.
Oh,
too.
I've been giving all my hot peppers to the mayor, Lewis.
Mayor Lewis. Hall. See, this is how in depth this game is. Everyone has different likes and dislikes, and you can give them gifts in order to increase your friendship levels with them in your heart. And once you get to a certain number of hearts or friendship level, you can choose to date them. Depending on the character, most of them, it's about 50-50, I would say, are single.
I would say so, yeah,
50-50. Though I do think it'd be kind of funny and scandalous if you could, like, flirt with the married women.
Oh, that would be updated drama.
I am
ready for year 5. I think you have to make it to year 5 when everybody's just bored of you being with, like, your life as the farmer. You're not new in town. You're old news. I say someone else moves in and they break up your marriage. Concerned apes, contact me.
I would love to do this sometime. There is multiplayer in Stardew.
What? Could we date each other?
Maybe. I'd have to buy another PS4 and another copy of Stardew.
Oh my gosh, no. Stop.
Or either that, or if we get another computer and we buy Stardew Valley for both of us on the computer, that's probably a better option.
Could we get a laptop?
Yeah, we could.
I like a laptop.
we'll save up for it.
Okay.
So I ended up befriending Shane, and Shane is such a dick at first.
He is.
But the thing that I think is cool about all the different relationships you get with all the different characters is that they all have interesting stories to them.
For sure.
Each one of them it's not just, okay, here's some hearts and now we're more friends with, now we're better friends. Oh, and I'll give you some stuff every now and then. No, they actually have like character arcs. Mm-hmm. Now, you befriended Haley. What do you know what her character arc is? Like how, like what some of her extra dialogue moments are? You know how like there's like cutscenes?
Oh, yeah, cutscenes.
Because I haven't done anything. I haven't befriended Haley at all because I didn't like her.
Well, just the other day, I opened a jar of pickles for her in her kitchen because I'm a strong lady on a farm.
Strong lady.
But I've also run into her out front of Marnie's house near the farm. And we've done a photo shoot together. Okay. That's really cool because she had her camera out and she's really into photography. So we did a photo shoot sort of thing, stuff like that. And then there's sometimes, because if I go into her house and her sister's there, I'll befriend her sister. And then sometimes there's like the three of us cut scenes, like with all three of us. Like I'm part of the family because I have full hearts with you.
Shane's is a lot more dark.
It is.
Shane's an alcoholic, and you literally watch him go through the phases of the lowest portion of his alcoholism and then his comeback, his rise, recovery. His recovery from alcoholism.
Yeah.
It's a really dark character arc because he, like, there's literally moments where he talks about like wanting to commit suicide and stuff like that. It's wild. And
he's an intense friend.
I really also wanted to, in my most recent playthrough that I still have to get farther, I've been trying to woo Penny, the librarian slash teacher.
Penny, the librarian slash teacher.
And I found out that one of the, like, her thing is that her mom is Pam, the bus driver.
Yeah, who's also, I've learned a little bit about her, too.
Who's also a raging alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of, apparently her story is a lot with, like, dealing with family issues between Pam and her. Like, Penny takes care of her mom so much, and Pam just kind of goes to a bar and drinks.
Yeah.
It's, in like, a lot of the different storylines are just super intense. Abigail, I married her on one playthrough.
You married her?
Yeah. So my first playthrough, I married Leah.
Yeah.
Second playthrough, I married Abigail.
What playthrough are you on now?
Third.
Jeez Louise. You're getting around, hubby.
No, it's all in different playthroughs. It doesn't count.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't count.
It's like having hoes in different area codes.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And one is in Little Ho Farm.
Yeah, Little Ho Farm. So, no, they... But with Abigail, her whole thing is that she just doesn't like her parents. Like, she's like a really...
That's it?
That's literally it. It's a stereotypical teenage brat. She definitely acts
and
it.
And a little immature.
She definitely acts it.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
It's time to grow up, Abby.
So there are also a bunch of other weird characters. There's Elliot, the dude who lives on the house on the beach, like a shack on the beach.
I've never gotten to know him.
He seems... Like,
he's too far away from me.
He's a hipster. 100% a hipster.
Yeah.
I also tried, at one time, I tried to, before I married Leah on my first playthrough, I tried to marry Maru, who...
That's right. I remember.
The scientist's daughter. Mm-hmm. She's a scientist. When I got up to like three hearts with her, I go up and I talk to her dad, Demetrius, and he's like, just so you know... she's got a lot of potential and a big future.
He
so
said that to me, too.
It's so... I'm like... Holy shit, this is intense.
Maru's open to possibilities. Get it, girl?
But this, what I think is so cool about this game is, like, we've just been going on for like 10, 15 minutes about all the different characters and relationships that you can go through with all these different fictional people, these NPCs.
They're a little more than fictional to me now.
Oh, okay.
We're involved.
Oh, Jesus. But I think that's really cool that a game can make you connected to these fictional characters. Even, you know, they're not real, obviously, but it's just, it's kind of fun seeing their character arcs and feeling like you did something to benefit them.
Oh, yeah, you influenced them. It's like nature versus nurture. Without you playing the game, their storylines could have gone a completely different direction.
Apparently, actually, a lot of the characters, too, that are single, that you have a chance to marry, they already have predestined, quote-unquote, people that they're supposed to get together with.
No way! So, like, do you know who it is?
I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but Leah, I believe, is supposed to get with Elliot, which makes sense. Leah's the artist, Elliot's the hipster on the beach.
And they're both redheads.
ish. I think, doesn't Ellie have like
cute. Auburn. He's got some auburn hair.
Then Emily, Bronzy. Haley's sister that you're talking about, she's supposed to get with Clint the blacksmith.
Yes, I know about that story.
And if you get enough hearts with Clint, you help him get with Emily. It's kind of a cute
correct.
Thing.
Or if your friend, yes. Yes, what you said.
Yeah. Abigail is supposed, she is the daughter of the shopkeeper.
With the purple hair.
She's the purple hair. She's supposed to get together Sam? With Sebastian.
Sebastian, the, you know, I was considering him as my husband.
I think Haley and Sam are off the other couple.
Haley and Sam?
Either that or who's the
neighbors? Girl next door?
Either that or Haley and Alex, who's the who's like the jock that lives with
that makes
old
more
man
sense.
George, who's like a cranky, who's a cranky Gus, cranky puss. I don't know.
Yes.
Sorry. So yeah, this probably means nothing to a lot of people who have not played the game, but like that's these people feel real, which is really cool. Some of the other aspects of the game that we haven't talked about yet, we kind of talked about farming, but like. There's not much more to say about farming unless you really want us to break down our farming strategies.
You plant the crops and then you water them and then you let them grow until you pick them.
Yes.
After you pick them, you could sell them, which is your best bet for making money.
Then you can also buy farm animals so that way you can...
I love the farm animal options.
So you can like, you know, get eggs from chickens and milk cows or goats.
Goats. Truffles
from
pigs.
You eventually can actually get dinosaurs. They can get
yes,
a raptor.
Yes, I have one in the oven.
You have one in the oven? Yeah. Incubating?
Yeah.
What is really funny too is that... Or I shouldn't say funny. What's interesting is... The developer specifically designed the game so that way you could not kill the animals. Like you, like even if you get their, if you don't feed them at all, they won't ever die. They just stop producing food. So
well,
I mean,
that's
it's good.
Nice.
It's good to know
that
but
they don't die.
He never
but that's
wanted,
sad.
But they never made it so that way you could. Actually take the animals and, you know, ship them off to the butcher or something like that. Like you'll never be able to butcher the animals.
Yeah, I
you
like.
You can sell them.
To who?
You can. I don't know who you sell it to.
The butcher?
I hope not. Actually, you know, maybe it is the butcher.
Maru's basement? What?
Maru, the scientist girl?
She's got a lab.
In the kitchen.
Oh, that's unsanitary. Never mind.
And actually, Maru's mother is Robin, who is the town carpenter. And she helps build
because
all your farm
Because she has all of the tools. It's coming
them.
Together.
So
Stardew Horror.
Oh my gosh, that would be a great spinoff.
I'll write it.
Copyright Courtney. I'm not gonna take credit for it. It's your idea. So then you can do all that, you know, farm, take care of farm animals, but then also one of the other aspects that makes the game more fun and encourages you to try different things is the leveling up system. So you have a really simplistic level system where you have different levels for your foraging, you have different levels for your farming, for your combat in the just in general, for mining, for I think there's one other, fishing, that's another one.
Did you say foraging?
I did say foraging.
Sorry.
That's okay. But with foraging, that includes, besides just picking up different like odds and ends outside, like all the different like wild radishes and stuff like that, it's also chopping down trees and gathering wood and stuff like that.
Yeah, you could get more seeds and more wood.
Then mining obviously is, you know, mining rocks, like picking at rocks and stuff like that, gathering ore.
Getting gems and such.
Mm-hmm. And combat, simple enough. Farming and combat, self-explanatory. For the more items, the more crops that you plant and then harvest and then sell, the faster they go up. Now, what's cool is about them, you max it out. There's levels 1 through 10 for each of the skills. At each one, each level gives you a different like a different enhancement. Usually it's like 5% faster, especially specifically with farming. You can water crops 5% faster, and you can also it also expels 5% less energy, so you can water longer.
Oh, we love that.
And at level 5 of each of these skills, it gives you an either or option. So you can for example with the farming one, you can either get I think what is it 10% more for each of your crops. like when you sell them, or you can get 20% more for all the farm animals. I always go with crops because I always like I sell crops more frequently than I do farm animal products.
I chose farm animal products this time around because I am hopefully going to transition to not having to do any crops. I just got my greenhouse fixed, so I'm going to focus on a self-sustaining watering system in there. So I just have to pick it, but then focus a lot on the farm animals. So I, the round chose the farm animal product instead of the crops.
And that's one of the fun things about this is that you can keep trying different strategies to maximize your yield, maximize what you can do. So like you're saying, one of the main aspects of this game that encourages you to try different things besides the leveling system is there's a place called the community center. Mm-hmm. And this ties back with the greenhouse in a second. The community center, you find these little guys named Juonimos or something like that.
Junimos.
They're these cute little, like, almost gumdrop-looking things, right? Would you say that?
Yeah, like little Mike and Ike.
Yeah.
Gumdrops.
And they have these little cute little arms and legs.
Greens, yellows, pastels.
So they have these different objectives for you in each of the rooms of the community center. And each community center is a different theme of objectives. So the fish tank is all fishing objectives. The pantry is generally all farming objectives. The nursery is like foraging objectives or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The bank vault or the like office is a lot of money objectives. You just have to give mm-hmm. money to it.
The boiler room is like ores and minings and wood stuff.
And the bulletin board is just odds and ends, just mm-hmm. random tidbits of everything else. So you get rewards for completing those objectives. And there's a lot of objectives within each of the separate rooms. It's not just do this one thing and you get a reward. It's like five or six different things that you have to do.
Yeah, there's about 5 to 7 categories. And then within those categories, there's anywhere between 4 and 8 subcategories that you have to fill up.
And you do get rewards for completing each one of those subset mm-hmm. of goals. But there's a big grand reward for when you complete it. So for example, when you complete the pantry, you get the greenhouse.
Yep.
And the greenhouse is super beneficial because you can plant any crops in there regardless of season. And I guess we didn't even talk about that this game does have seasons.
4 seasons, 4 weeks in each season, 7 days a week. It's like a full year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can technically it's like 4 months
yeah.
to 1 year. But each month is a different season. There's spring, summer, fall, and winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year starts over again. And it is continuous as long as you play.
And you can only plant certain crops during certain seasons. So, for example, parsnips you can only plant in spring. Corn you can plant summer through fall, both of those seasons. Pumpkins you can only plant in the fall. There's nothing that grows in the winter normally.
Winter crops.
There are a few, right?
There are winter crops.
But they're very, there's like 2 of them or something, 3 I think, right? There's not a lot of winter crops.
They are the foraging items. Mm-hmm. If you have one of each foraging item for the winter, that's like 4 or 5 different items. You can construct seeds, a packet of 10 seeds, and each one
will grow one of those
4 to 6 foraging items for you on your farm during that season.
So, but those don't normally sell all that well, if I'm correct, right?
Compared to everything else, you can't buy them. You might be able to inherit them or find them or get them on special occasions. But there are some like winter yams and crystal berries that sell really well. Or if you make the crystal berries into jams, they sell well as well.
And that's one of the other things we haven't even talked about. You can do a lot of different things with the crops, but the community center, like I was saying before, there's tons of different objectives you can complete through that. And by completing those objectives, it gives you all tons and tons of cool things. So besides the greenhouse, one of the other objectives fixes the bus that you rode in on. So now you can travel to the desert. And in the desert, there's additional, like you can get cactus fruit in there. You can get coconuts. There's also a hidden casino that you have to find your way in by like completing all these sneaky objectives, which mm-hmm. is kind of cool. There's also another dungeon for you to explore besides
mine.
The mine is the main one, and then there's the skull cavern in the desert.
Yeah, I thought that was like another mine.
I guess so, but they call it the skull cavern.
Oh, I did not notice.
So, but that's another place where you can fight monsters, and the monsters give you just some odds and end items, mainly just to help you with certain recipes that you might need it for. They're few and far between for the most part. Some people like the whatever you get off of monsters, like bats give you bat wings, and like some of the later enemies give you demonic essences and stuff like that. And the wizard in the town, there is a wizard in this game. I forgot about him, but he likes the demonic essences, which
void essence,
that's what it is. Thank you. So there's just so much to this game. Like, I feel
there
like
is so much. It's like jumping into a completely other reality and living through them instead of living your real life that you should be going about doing.
It's a nice escape every now and then. It's fine.
It is a nice escape, especially when reality is giving you some twists and turns and stressors and anxieties. It's nice to go into a bit more of a mundane and predictable environment and play through that instead.
And it's also super relaxing.
It is. I'm not one for video game music because I find it stressful, like the ones that you usually listen to in your games. I have always turned off my video game sounds. Like when I had the Game Boy Color and was playing Super Mario Brothers, I could not listen to that music another minute. It was so stressful because I always died. I always had to start over. It wasn't reminiscent of victory. It always tore me down. So it got so annoying, I would just turn it off. And this soundtrack to Stardew Valley, I find completely opposite, as in it is relaxing and soothing and just a nice melody here and there. It's not overwhelming. It doesn't play all the time.
It actually does play all the time, but it's a lot less intrusive, I would say. It's always on in the background.
Not always.
I mean, some, like, once in a while. But
it fades out sometimes.
But for the most part, it's on, like, all day long.
Sure.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
I don't turn this volume down. Like, I don't turn it off. I do turn it down because it is very nice background music. And that's the way that I think a lot of video game music should be. So I like that the melody is simple but intriguing enough to kind of soothe me and lull me along instead of getting myself worked up and tense and not be able to play through. Like the mines. The mines has specific music, and that sometimes does get a little stressful, and sometimes it does change from level to level through the mine.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of the game is still a little stressful for me. But I take enough breaks that I'm not in there every day. But yeah, I like when video game music is relaxing and is not obnoxious and overwhelming and loud.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I disagree with, I don't think it's that obnoxious, but I get what you're saying, especially since you relate it to that anxiety of the stress of that the game is bringing you. I can understand why it's not your favorite at that point. Mm-hmm. One of the cool things about this was just that how much there is to do. Like, you always feel like you have something to do.
Oh, there's always something to do.
And it, like you were talking about the mine, it's funny because sometimes there's always so much to do that when, go ahead, adjust, that when it rains, it's almost, you're almost thankful that it rains because you don't have to water any of the crops.
I love when it rains.
So then you're like, oh, I can go do the mines now. Oh, I can just fish now or something like that.
Yeah, it helps you catch up on other areas of your mini reality.
Now, when we first started playing, fishing was the bane of your existence.
Oh my gosh, I hated fishing. I could not understand it. I knew how the button action worked. It was just my mind telling my thumb precisely how to work it. It just didn't work. And I hated it. I could not grasp it. I avoided it. It took me until like year 3 to start getting into fishing. Now I don't mind it. I see you
fishing a lot.
Fish a lot. And because I fish a lot, my little bar, my space bar to catch the fish in is quite large. So fishing for me has become quite mundane. I do like when a harder fish comes along here and there, kind of gets me working for it a little more.
Gets you a little more engaged.
Mm-hmm. So I have come to respect the fishing aspect and almost in some ways like fishing.
I think you definitely seem to enjoy it more than you used to. That's
for damn sure. For sure.
I was definitely the same way when I first started fishing as well. It was not fun. I could not understand the mechanic of having to press and hold the square button in order to keep the fish inside of the green bar to catch it. And then when they started adding in random treasure chests to
that you could catch it. Oh, fluff that. I wasn't even trying for them.
I wasn't either when I first started. But it took me a little bit, and once I finally got it, it was totally worth it. It was a lot of fun. And I think overall the game is just, they give you so much variety to choose from that between the mines, between fishing, between farming, between taking care of animals, between managing your relationships with all the townspeople.
That's just so many things and different aspects to think about. It's kind of overwhelming.
But it's funny because now you do it almost without a second thought. It's becoming second nature. You learn something and now you're able to kind of plan it all out at once. So when I start a new game now, I picture, okay, I need to do all this. I need these items definitely for the community center because I know the community center is there now. I will also want to save these because I know I want to give them to such and such villagers so that way I can increase my hearts with them and also become better friends with them. Also, I read somewhere that every time you pass a villager, if you talk to them, that also helps increase the hearts just very slightly.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if you don't do that, if you pass someone and you decide not to say hi to them,
do you lose hearts?
Apparently you can.
Oh no.
I don't know how true that is though, because I haven't seen it happen. I just read it somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So on the, like, definitely the first, especially the first year, like, there's no way you're going to know exactly what to do. But by the end of this, but by the second year, you're figuring everything out. And then when you start a second playthrough, it's a lot easier to actually plan everything out.
What's with you?
What's with me?
Sorry. So, to all you listeners, that awkward pause, I'm leaving that in. I'm leaving that in. That's... I'm trying to make a point, and my wife's just she hides completely behind the microphone. I just see a tongue poke out the side.
I'm sorry. To be honest, I got a little bit bored and distracted.
Okay, now I'm going to delete this out.
Okay.
All right, so I think that's a good place to kind of wrap this up, because we could keep going about specifics, but that's not going to mean a whole lot to individuals who have not played it.
Correct.
So what I kind of want to end this episode on is just your overall impressions of the game. Now that you have, like I said before, like we said at the beginning of this episode, this is the first game you've played in quite a long time. That you actually got into in quite a long time.
Correct. The last and only other game that I have fully completed was the Rugrats movie game for Game Boy Color.
You also beat Journey on the PS3.
I did, with a lot of your help.
But that still counts.
Okay.
So, final impressions, like, what's your overall view of this game? Like, and like, what are some of your favorite and least favorite things about it?
Overall, I think it's a lovely little game. It is for players of any age or level of experience. I think it is... it's cute. I never would have imagined myself putting so much time and energy into a video game. I liked that it occupied me even with like something so simple as farming or having this little life, this little story in a small town that felt like a small town. And being a part of a small town, but in an important way, I think I love most the storyline that it offers and how different it can be with each decision that you choose and path that you decide to take. I think there's not a whole lot that I would complain about because I'm not fluent in video games and other video gaming systems and whatnot. I don't have many comparisons. I think because I am so outside of the video gaming world, the only thing is that I do often find myself thinking, wow, this is so much fun, creating a little garden, having this product, taking care of these things, and being a part of this community. So I obviously translate that to, well, there is a community right outside my door. Why aren't I going outside and creating my own little garden, getting fresh tomatoes to make like salsa or something in the summertime, or going to the library and being part of community events, or just doing Stardew Valley in real life. I think that's my only kind of, I wouldn't even call it a negative view.
It's not an issue with the game.
It's just something that I have an opinion on.
Yeah.
Is that if I'm putting all of this energy and effort and this much passion into such a fun and simple game, I'm super happy and glad to enjoy it. But then how much could I also enjoy the real world around me? And I guess you could say that maybe Stardew Valley does motivate me or kind of call out to me in that sense, like, hey, you can do it in here. You can succeed in this little world. Why don't you go out into your big world and be a part of your community? So overall, I think the game is really cute. It's a nice, easy game. Can be however hard or simple you choose to make it. I do recommend this to anybody who has a little extra time on their hands or with whatever console you do have accessible to yourself. I think it's worth your time and your interest if you are interested. And I overall give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay. I honestly, and I always try to give my own little spin on things, but I think you summed it all up perfectly. The only thing I want to add, and it's not even to add to your overall review of it, just a little personal anecdote. I've told you this before. This game means a lot to me solely on the fact that it's something we did together during one of the most stressful times of our lives, right before our wedding, just planning it and trying to get everything together. And we played this December through February practically. Of the months leading up to our wedding.
Yeah, definitely that last home stretch, we were really into it because we had a lot of the things squared away. Mm-hmm. And now it was just a waiting game, and it kind of distracted from the wait, from the anxiety leading up to our day. I think it was a nice kind of way to turn off the stress and steer the direction of your thoughts into something a little more soothing and
more productive, even, I would say.
Yeah, less meaningful. It was still important to us, and it didn't change how we felt about the real world, but it distracted us a little bit from that stress that was being put on us.
And that's the whole purpose of games. Like, that's the whole purpose of video games. So, like, this game will always mean a lot to me for that reason. Like, it helped us through that rough time, and also helped me come a little bit closer to you, to be a little bit cheesy online in front of all these people. But
remember, I like the cheese.
You do. So that, I think, is a good place to wrap up this episode. Thank you, Courtney, for joining me today. It was really nice to have my wife on a podcast.
You're very welcome, and thank you for inviting me and letting me be a part of this.
Oh, of course. As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also contact me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, there's a couple ways you can do that. You could give it a 5-star rating and review on whatever podcatching app that you use. You can also support the show by checking out our Patreon, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month will help me grow the show so I can continue to provide more content for you all. And if you also like, you can check out the podcast network I'm a part of, podbeardnetwork.com. Check that out for all the great content that offers. And that should do it. Courtney, is there any social media you'd like to plug? Or, I didn't know if you wanted to or not.
No, I'm fine being anonymous.
Okay, we'll leave it at that then. So thank you all once again for listening. Thank you, Courtney, for joining me.
Thank you.
And I will see you all next time.
Bye.
Thank you.